This Tuesday is Veterans Day. It will be a day filled with ceremonies and parades, most poorly attended by those who never served, by the way, with the goal of saying thank you to veterans once again as the foundation for that day. My next guest is, let's just say, disturbed by these what seems to be endless thank yous because of what they overlook and even outright ignore. He wrote about this in a recent article posted at the Huffington Post and elsewhere. He has experience to speak, as he does, by the way, having served in the U.S. military as an Army Ranger for two tours in Afghanistan with the 2nd Army Ranger Battalion. He later became a conscientious objector after that second tour. He's the author of the new book out this week, Worth Fighting For, An Army Ranger's Journey Out of the Military and Across America, which that alone is a story within itself. We say good morning to Rory Fanning. Morning, Rory.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here because, well, what you talk about is certainly has a powder keg aspect to it because you sort of touch on topics not a lot of people want to talk about. Let's start with the recent past. And you are, if you look at like the, let's put the war era from the late 90s to today, you have a lot of concerns and even problems with what the U.S. military has been doing of recent years.
Yeah, I think U.S. soldiers have long since stopped going off to foreign lands to fight and kill and die for our freedom. I mean, it's pretty clear that the U.S. is going overseas for an imperialist agenda, you know, to control other countries' natural resources. And, you know, going into the 14th year of the global war on terror, I think it's time we start, you know, really looking at these types of ceremonies with a critical eye, because they're usually apolitical. They really don't zero in on the challenges that most veterans face when they come back from these wars. And I do think it's a way of keeping our quote-unquote heroes silent about their actual experiences out there.
Well, certainly the care that our government gives our returning veterans, I think no matter whether or not someone agrees with your stand on war and it's right or wrong or whatever in between, certainly when you look at going back to what was discovered at Walter Reed Hospital, and certainly we've come to learn about the miserable performance, although it was known within the walls of Congress for almost a decade, of Veterans Affairs, we do not treat our veterans kindly.
Well, dealing particularly around mental health issues, I mean, once you start going down that rabbit hole, then you have to unlock all of the reasons that they're over there, you know, and you know, veteran suicides just surpassed actual war deaths in Iraq and Afghanistan. We have a veteran suicide once every 80 minutes in this country. You know, we have a $765 billion military budget. You'd think they would find some time or some resources to take care of veterans' mental health with all that money.
Or even day-to-day life. I'm going off the top of my head here, so I might be off a percentage or two, but I believe it's 46% of military families are receiving some sort of government assistance above and beyond what their military pay and housing allowances are.
Yeah, correct. That's kind of an outrage, isn't it?
Well, it's sickening. We're talking with Rory Fanning, who is a former Ranger in the U.S. military, Army Ranger, 2nd Battalion, two tours of Afghanistan. We'll talk about his new book shortly, Worth Fighting For, An Army Ranger's Journey Out of the Military and Across America. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm reading your book and I'm reading your articles, and I know politically you two, this name I'm about to mention and you will probably be polar opposites, but I think as far as caring about our troops, or as this individual used to call them, the grunts, and what's right and what's wrong with the military, you remind me somewhat of Colonel David Hackworth, who most famously wrote the book about face. He had served. He was one of our most decorated officers, and he pretty much loaded down the dirt about what had been happening in Vietnam and what was wrong. Of course, he got a lot of heat for it and ostracized by the military establishment, among others. What's the cost of speaking out and speaking up that you decided to take on that's not enough want to, apparently?
You know, it's all pretty complicated. You know, as you see with these concerts for valor, you know, soldiers, you know, and the lack of job opportunities when they get back, you know, they need to take advantage of every opportunity just to survive when they come back. So it's not like there's a lot of latitude for returning soldiers to, you know, speak out politically when they really are very concerned about surviving themselves. But, you know, at this point, you know, I do think we need to start calling out the quote-unquote good intentions of Concerts for Valor and any one of the hundreds of ceremonies that are celebrating our returning veterans that are happening probably just today. You know, good intentions at this day of the game are no substitute for good politics. And I do think it is important for military veterans, active duty soldiers to start questioning these wars on a mass scale. They need to start realizing that they are not, they need to start talking about the fact that they, what they signed up for is not what is actually happening overseas. They have to start putting down their weapons, in my opinion. I mean, trillions and trillions of dollars have gone to these overseas missions, and you see they're not working. I mean, we're creating the very enemies that we're now being told to go fight on numerous instances. And we have plenty of other things that money could be going towards, and not certainly not to mention the hundreds of thousands of lives lost overseas for this war as well.
And having said that, if you look at the alternative, you know, even in the Vietnam War era, for example, it was what they term conventional warfare. You had an enemy who wanted to defeat an opponent and live to do what they wanted to do. And in that instance, the North Vietnamese spreading communism to South Vietnam. With the current or quote unquote modern day wars, you have an enemy who has no wish or will to go by any international code or warfare rule book, and they're not afraid to die for their cause in an effort to defeat the enemy, and that being America, the only superpower. If America were to not go into other countries, do what they've done in the Middle East, in Africa, whatever the case may be, wouldn't that just be an open door for a spread of terrorism through, if not around the world, but certainly within that region, maybe even up to a third of the world going into Europe?
Well, as you talked about Vietnam. I mean, people who fought in Vietnam were very unconcerned about politics. They wanted to remove an occupying force. Just as the people in Afghanistan are largely unconcerned about politics, they want to remove an occupying force, as the people in Iraq are. These people are some of the poorest people on the planet, and they have just want to survive, and they certainly don't need occupying forces coming in and telling them how things are going to be. Our U.S. military has done very little as far as curbing the spread of terrorism. And as we see with the rise of ISIS, they've created, and, you know, the Taliban, after we funded the Mujahideen, we created these things that we're now fighting. So military is not the answer. You know, building infrastructure, helping these countries along those lines, yes, these people need jobs, they need a future, and military answers are not working.
But with that in mind, the people have to want the freedom, and in Iraq, and especially if you look at the Iraqi army, which had half a decade of training, and when it was time for them to stand on their own, they collapsed, they ran, they hid, and left the door open for ISIS to come in. If the people aren't going to stand on their own, even when they're given training and the tools, and instead they want some sort of security welfare state supplied by others at the risk of others, what does that say for the people?
I do think it's pure conjecture and largely propaganda to believe that a people don't want to stand on their own and live free. And there has been a divide and conquer strategy by the U.S. military in order to direct people's attention away from oil, away from the things that we're really there for, that has caused this fighting. And there is a large percentage of the ISIS militia, our former secular Baptist Party people, that were not allowed to participate in the creation of the Iraqi government of Saddam Hussein. These are people who have nothing else to do. And just like in any desperate situation, we fight to survive when there is no resources and there has been a divide and conquer strategy in your country for the last 9 years.
I don't want to shortchange your book here because it is something that, whether or not someone listening agrees with you or disagrees or is on the fence, your book, Worth Fighting For. We're talking with Rory Fanning, author of Worth Fighting For, an Army Ranger's Journey Out of the Military and Across America, and here on Issues and Ideas. We have just about over a minute left here. Your book is a very insightful look into the people of our country and what they believe. And we'll talk about the, just as quickly as you possibly can, about the story, what you did and why you did it and what you learned about we the people of America.
Well, I, in 2008 and 2009, I walked from Virginia Beach to San Diego, California to raise the $3.6 million that Pat Tillman gave up when he left the military. I mean, when he left the NFL to join the military, he and I served in the same unit together. I thought his example was an example that many people could learn from, and I was hoping to appeal to the small percentage of the population that controls most of the wealth in this country by walking across the country and talking about what Pat sacrificed for a greater cause. And the book is about that, and it's about the amazing people who supported me. Right, left, up, down, everybody supported this walk. Had people drive, you know, let me stay in their house for a week, you know, on multiple occasions. And it was an amazing experience. And I realized along the way that people are generally good. They do the best with the information that they have and the limited free time that they can afford. And this walk also helped me kind of get the confidence to talk about my own experience in the military, and that's the short summary of what the book is about.
And it's worth fighting for. It's a book certainly worth reading, because on this Veterans Day, here's a great idea for Veterans Day this year, this Tuesday. Instead of thinking about what someone has done for us, why don't we as a nation do more for those people who have served our country and believe in duty, honor, versus blind obedience, which in any realm is not a good thing, because you limit yourself and you ignore history and facts. Again, the book is Worth Fighting For, an Army Ranger's Journey Out of the Military and Across America. We have a link to it over at our website. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, whatever your favorite means of getting a valuable resource and insight into us is certainly something worthy of your time, I believe. He is a former Army Ranger, two tours in Afghanistan with the 2nd Army Ranger Battalion, and author of the book Worth Fighting For, an Army Ranger's Journey Out of the Military and Across America. Rory Fanning, thank you for your honesty and your ability to step up and say what's on your mind, help us become more aware of various situations of the military. Thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks, sir. It was a pleasure chatting with you. Hope to do it again.